Here in Ephesians 2, great passage about our part in God's plan as being part of God's household. And it's just beautiful. And it just reminds us how we're all part of the same family. Amen? The family of God. That's why we call each other brother and sister, because we're part of God's family. So notice here in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19 to the end of the chapter, the Bible says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principality." I'm in the wrong chapter. Everybody's wondering. Yeah. It is the King James. That's just the wrong chapter. All right. Chapter 2, verse 19. That's a great passage, too, by the way. "Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." So, the household of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of meeting here in the name of Christ around your precious and preserved word. And pray now the Holy Spirit would take that powerful word and apply it to our hearts and change us, Lord. And I pray that we'll just be encouraged from your word today, convicted, comforted, whatever the need might be, and that Jesus Christ will be lifted up and magnified, that the Holy Spirit would guide us in truth. We give you this service. We praise you for this opportunity and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you're here this morning, you're a born-again Christian, you are part of the household of God. That's something to praise God for. And I just want to walk through this passage and understand what that means on a practical level for us as part of God's household. And the first thing he talks about here in verse 19, he says that we're no more strangers and foreigners, but that now we are fellow citizens. Fellow citizens. Isn't that a good word? We are fellow citizens of a new country called heaven. Amen? And so, this isn't our country anymore. Heaven's our country now. And that's why God says that we're to live for then. Amen? We're told there in Colossians chapter 1, "Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God," because we're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're told in Ephesians chapter 1. And so we are now fellow citizens of a new country, and I believe God wants each of us to do our part as a fellow citizen of this household of God. There's other words that God uses in his word, and I'm just going to read them out real quick. If you want to write them down, you can. But in Philippians 2:25, he calls us fellow soldiers. In Philippians 4:3, he calls us fellow laborers. In Colossians 1:7, fellow servants. In Colossians 4:11, fellow workers. And in 3 John 8, we're fellow helpers. So that kind of gives you an idea that we are now fellow citizens of the same household, and that God wants us to fulfill our part for one another. And we'll talk more about that later. But God expects us to be a good citizen. Amen? Of the household of God. And that phrase is used there in Ephesians 2:19. He says, "And of the household of God." If you go to Galatians 6:10, back one book to the left, God also refers to it here as the household of faith. And that is the household that you and I became part of the day we trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Galatians 6:10, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So we're to be good to everyone, but he says especially we need to be a blessing and a help and an encouragement and so forth to those who are of the household of faith. Didn't Jesus say, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another"? Love is action. You've heard that enough times. But we are all part of the household of God. We are fellow citizens. Now, this household is an amazing household. But he talks here in verse 20 of, in Ephesians 2 about its foundation. Every house has a foundation or a collapse. This household is built on the foundation, it says, of the apostles and prophets. How do we get this household? We got it from God, of course, but we know about it from here. They told us all about it. You know, the church as a body was a mystery to the Old Testament prophets. We've studied that before. They didn't know it was even going to happen. They saw Christ on the cross and they saw him rise from the dead. But then they saw the tribulation period in the kingdom. They didn't see this time of period we call the church. And so God gave it to the apostles and the prophets. Go to Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. Jesus did the same thing after he rose from the dead. He spent time with his disciples, showing them himself in the Old Testament. Notice Luke 24:44. It says, "And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." So there Jesus gives us basically the three sections of the Old Testament. There's basically the law, then there is the law and the history of Israel, then there's what we call the poetic books, which he refers to as the Psalms and the Proverbs, and then the prophets, starting at Isaiah and working all the way through to Malachi. And he took the time with his disciples and he said, all those things concerning me. He basically took them to the Old Testament and spent all those days with them and said, that's me, that's me, that's me, that's me. I would have liked to have been part of that Bible study, to have the author of the book, God in the flesh, showing me himself and his word. That would have been amazing. But for us in the New Testament, if you go to Ephesians chapter 3 now, just one chapter over from where we are, God said that he's built a new thing, a new household called the church, called the body of Christ, and that foundation was given to us through God's word by the apostles and the prophets. Notice Ephesians 3:5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. So now we know it was a mystery to the Old Testament saints, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now revealed. So as Paul explains here in Ephesians 5, this new household of God was a mystery, but the foundation was given to us through the word of God by the apostles and the prophets. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll see again where God explains that they gave us, the Holy Spirit gave us what we need to know about this household through his apostles and prophets. 2 Peter 3:2, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of the apostles of our Lord and Savior. There's only 12 apostles. We know that because their names are engraved on the city of God in Revelation 21. So Paul became that 12th apostle, took Judas's place, and their names will be engraved in the city. And through them and the prophets, God gave us the foundation of this household. But go back to our passage, Ephesians 2:20. They may have given us the foundation, but Jesus is the cornerstone. Amen? Now, most foundations, they need that cornerstone. And that's a very important stone. And look what it says. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That's the stone. 1 Peter 2, verse 7, unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. So many people reject that cornerstone. And Jesus talked about how those who reject him will be ground to powder. But those who accept him become part of his household, of which he is the chief cornerstone. And so already, just in these two verses, we've learned that we are fellow citizens of this household, that the foundation was laid through the Word, by the Holy Spirit, through the apostles and the prophets, that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. But go back to our passage, verse 21. It says, in whom all the building fitly framed together. I'm sure you builders love this passage. Framed together. Groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. So God is building it. Amen? Every time someone gets saved, God is building this household. It's beautiful. Go to 1 Corinthians 3:9, if you would. And God here even refers to us as His building. 1 Corinthians 3:9. It says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. 1 Corinthians 3:9. And ye are God's building. Now, I hope you understand that this has nothing to do with this building we're sitting in this morning. That's not what he's talking about. This is just a building. Rotorua Bible Baptist Church is not this building. It's us. Amen? It's the people. And we are the building of God. That's what he says here. We are God's building. We are God's household. And this is a single household. It's a body. If you go to Ephesians 4:16, he expounds on it a bit more. Ephesians 4:16, it says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. There's some more good builder words. Fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God is building this building stone by stone as people get saved. You and I, hallelujah, are fellow citizens of this household, upon which the foundation was given through the apostles and the prophets, Jesus being the chief cornerstone, and God is building stone by stone an holy temple unto the Lord, which he will one day take away. But back to our passage, Ephesians 2:22, in whom ye also are builded together. Builded together. God wants us, as these stones, if you will, to build together, to work together, to care for one another, to love one another. We're told this all through the scriptures, are we not? And you know, a lot of people who go to good churches, they take comfort in knowing they're going to get to heaven and say, well, Jesus, I was right about my doctrine. Well, that's good to be right about your doctrine. And we might find we were wrong in a few areas, and it'll be too late to fix it then. Wouldn't it be better to stand before Christ, and we all will, at the judgment seat, and say, Lord, I used my talents that you gave me. I used the gifts that you gave me to serve you, like you told me to. You told me to serve one another. He took his disciples into the upper room just before going to the Garden of Gethsemane and then to Calvary, and the first thing he did was wash their feet. And he said, I did this to be an example. I want you guys to take care of each other. I want you guys to serve one another. I came to be a servant, and I want you to be servants. I want you to serve your fellow citizens. And this is all through the scriptures. Go to 1 Corinthians 12:25, and we'll see this. But God wants this building. He wants each stone, each of us, to help each other, to be a blessing to one another, but ultimately to serve. And this is so important that we serve Jesus Christ, that he would say to us at the judgment, well done, thou good and faithful what? Servant. We are servants. 1 Corinthians 12, look at verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Care one for another. In chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, though I'm free from all men, I've made myself servant unto all, that I might win the more. In Galatians 5, he says, well, let's look at it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. He reminds us that we have liberty in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We have liberty from the bondage of the law. We've been made free through God. But notice he says, Galatians 5:13, he says, "For brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love," what? "Serve one another." Serve one another. And this is a theme all throughout the New Testament, that we, as the stones of this building, are to be helping each other. As we read those fancy words, we're fellow helpers, we're fellow servants, we're fellow workers, we're fellow soldiers. We're here to help and serve each other, that the building might be stronger. And we will give account. All of us will give account to Jesus. Not for our sins, hallelujah. That was taken care of at Calvary. But we will give account. What did you do with the time I gave you? What did you do with the gifts that I gave you? What did you do with even the energy that I gave you? Did you use it to do what I told you to do, and that's serve one another? Or did you serve yourself? Well, we will give account. But he finishes here in Ephesians 2, verse 22. He says, "For an habitation of God through the Spirit." This is just another reason why I believe the Bible makes it very clear there's no way that the church can go in the tribulation period. Because the tribulation period is Jewish, 100% Jewish. It's Daniel's 70th week. It's Jacob's trouble and so forth. But the body of Christ is one through the Spirit. And that household, that body, is going to be removed as one prior to God now pouring out his wrath and judgment upon his chosen Old Testament people, the Jews. It's a Jewish time of wrath. It has nothing to do with us as the church. And that's why he's going to take us out. But notice Romans 12:5, God makes it clear all through the scriptures that we are now one body, one habitation of God through the Spirit. He's noticed Romans 12:5, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." We're all part of this household. Another one, 1 Corinthians 12:12. If you turn over there, he says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." One body, one household, one habitation. And then my favorite, look at 1 Peter 2:5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Now, isn't it beautiful that during this age, this church age, that when we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, God moves in and indwells us. For how long? Well, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." He moves in, and he's going to stay there until the day we're redeemed, till the day we're taken away. But we're all, notice 1 Peter 2:5, "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." We're a spiritual house. It's not a house that you can see, but it's made up of all these lively stones. Didn't know you were all a lively stone, did you? But we're all lively stones. We're all just another brick in this household. And how blessed we are to be part of it. And our job is to try to tell people out there they can be part of it too. They can be rescued from their sin. They can find eternal life if they will but trust Jesus Christ. In the meantime, we're fellow citizens of this new household that God built himself. He put the foundation down through the apostles and the prophets. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And God is, as we read there, building this. Lively stone by lively stone. In the meantime, what does he want? He wants the lively stones to make it strong by serving one another helping one another, being a blessing to one another. You know, John, God says there in 1 John, my little children, let us not love in word, but what? Or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let us love in what we do. Let's be a blessing to each other. Let's encourage one another. Let's help one another. That's why we're here. We're here to win the lost to Jesus Christ, and we're here to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why we're here. And God says, you're one household. I laid the foundation. I'm building it lively stone by lively stone. One day I'm going to take it to glory. But until then, let's be faithful fellow citizens of this household of God. And be grateful that we're part of it. Hallelujah. You know, when you look at what Jesus said, he said, wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Should just make us that much more thankful. Hallelujah. When someone shared the gospel with me, the Holy Spirit convicted me, and I understood it, and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I was born again. Praise God. And we're, like we talked about in Sunday school, we're going to spend millions of years praising God for that, that he saved us from sin and from hell. He gave us a new life, and we get to spend forever with him. We are so blessed that we are fellow citizens of the household of God. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not sure you're saved, you're not sure you're born again, listen, that's why Christ died and rose again, so that you could have eternal life. But you must come to Christ. You must acknowledge you're a sinner and that your sin has condemned you to hell, but that God loved you so much, he paid the price for your sin himself as a man and then rose again to offer you eternal life. And you must be willing to come to him and repent and ask him for salvation. Those of us that have, are we being that lively stone? Are we like Jesus demonstrated in John 13? Are we serving one another with all that God gave us? Or are we serving ourselves? But thank God we're part of the household of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word.